Now then, hands up, children, or adults for that matter, if you have bought your mothers a Mother's Day card or a Mothering Sunday card or something like that. Hands up if you've managed to get a card. Oh, well done, Nana. Well done, well done, well done, well done. Lots of people putting their hands up. Hands up if this has pricked your conscience. You've suddenly remembered you'd forgotten. So if it has, there's still time yet to make amends. Yeah. Sorry? Not a lot, but there is time. Yes, yeah, so there is time to do that. However, I wonder if any of those millions of cards that were on the shelves, and they'll all be disappeared and they'll be Easter cards by tomorrow, but there's millions of cards in the shops, what the sorts of messages that they would have had on them. Thank you, Mum, for being the best mum. Thank you, Mum, for being wonderful, for being lovely. Did anybody see a card that said, "Thank you, Mum, for nagging me"? Did anybody see one? Or, "Thank you, Mum, you are the best nag in the world." You didn't see that either, did you? Now, it's interesting, isn't it, that I don't want to say this morning, because I might not get through that door in one piece, that mums nag and dads don't, because sometimes dads occasionally nag, don't they? Dads are very bad naggers, very often. I have to say, is that right, Matthew? Do I nag you? No, never. Well, that's blown my story. Anyway, do you know, it's interesting, isn't it, that I could have talked today about the love of God and the slushiness of it all and how wonderful you are. But you know, the next time your mum sends you up to your room to tidy your bedroom, you might not be thinking kind things. After about the 40th attempt to try and avoid it, to go and play with your various games. And adults, I guess it's slightly different for you, but different reasons. But you know, sometimes actually we don't like our mums very much, because they ask us to do things we don't always want to do. Now, I'm not sure if that's true either. Is that true, Chloe? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Competition who can have the naggiest mum in this, all of this. Mums are wonderful, but you know, actually, you can learn something very good about the heart of God from nagging. Now, this sounds very strange. It does, very strange. But we've heard a psalm. And the psalm talked about the steadfast love of the Lord. The steadfast love of the Lord. Now, it's really hard sometimes for us to understand the language of 2,000 plus years ago. And there's a little word for steadfast love that's used in the Old Testament. And it's a word called hesed. H-E-S-E-D. Try it. Hesed. Hesed. Remember it, it's important. Hesed is it's a type of love. It's the type of love that David had for Jonathan. It's the type of love that Hosea writes about in his book, about the love of God for each other. It's the type of love that is long-standing, hard-wearing, that works its way through things all the time, that may nag you but always loves you. It's that type of love that is always there for you. So hesed is a really important idea. And then we get to our New Testament lesson that we heard, probably the most well-known passage in the Bible. You know, John 3:16, "For God..." Okay. Well, we more or less got it right. Yeah, well done. Yeah, it is. "For God so loved the world." And "for God so loved the world." You see it everywhere. You see it in the States particularly. It's everywhere. But it appears on car stickers. It appears on slogans in places. It appears in football grounds. It's the one passage that is used so often. "For God so loved the world." Now, if you take that word love that we talked about before, the hesed, the love, the steadfast love, in the New Testament, when they'd started writing in Greek, they had a different way of writing about love. The New Testament Greeks had three different ways of writing about love. First of all, there was that love that was the lover of wisdom, of culture, of fine things, the lover of beauty and all around you. That philos, it is the Greek word. It's where we get the word philosophy and philatelic from as well, I guess. So that's where it comes from. And that type of love is a type of love that's a lover of wisdom. And then there is the type of love called eros, which is the sort of love that is between mummies and daddies. How's that for a nice way of putting it? It's a more of a sensual love. It's a different sort of love because it's different between the love that we have for fish and chips or we love McDonald's. We love those things. They are different things. So you have this sort of love, which is a passionate love between two people, a passionate love of caring and so forth. So you have that sort. And then you have this third sort, which is the word that is used here. And the word is agape, agape. And the love of agape is a type of love that is a bit like the hesed I mentioned. It's that constant love that's there, that constant and enduring love that takes over everything, that is there all the time, is always there wherever you are, when you're on the mountaintops and when you're in the valleys below, when life seems fantastic and you're so high, the love of God, this sort of agape of God is there with you, surrounding you with you. And when the times are hard and when it's tough and when things just don't go the way you want to, that love of God is with you then through all of that. But the interesting thing is, I sometimes think about it as a kind of surrounding you all the time, surrounding you with that love, surrounding you knowing that you have got God around you and with you and there with you. That sort of quiet, lovely feeling. Isn't that a lovely thought to think that God is with you wherever you are? Is that a lovely thought? Do you reckon that's a nice thought, isn't it? But you know, the word agape is also a verb. It means it's a doing word. It's an active word. It's something that challenges and changes. It's something that nagging does. It's a nagging love that's constant and pushing and all changing and always, always doing something and wanting you to change and move on. So now if you think about this thing of agape, of God as constantly loving and changing you, but challenging you to love and change and do things with people. Constantly challenging you to be different, to do the things right in the world, to make a difference in the world, to celebrate things that are good, to tell people of this love, this amazing love that we have, this steadfast love, this challenging love. So, if today you go home, apart from understanding and knowing the beauty of the male voice choir, if you go home and you think, what else did I learn from this service? I learned two very, very important words. I learned the word hesed, the word steadfast love, that wherever you are, whatever you are doing, you are loved by God. Even if you don't even know it, even if you don't care, even if you actually think this is rubbish, you are still loved by God. You know, if you don't believe in God, God still believes in you. So it's all there, always, constant, all the time, and ongoing. For God is always there with you. Because God loved the world permanently, all the time, every day. And in that world you live, and God loves you. So this Mothering Sunday, when we celebrate the gift of motherhood, we celebrate the joy of women, of inspirational women, and we're going to hear a little bit more about inspirational women in a few minutes. Let's just remember the nagging love of God, and let's remember that we are part of that whole thing, and let's celebrate that in all that we do. Amen. Now, I can't remember.